Yeah.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Actually Comics. I am Tristan.
And I'm Bob.
And these are the new comic releases for Wednesday, July 29th, 2020.
Holy shit. Yes. I had no idea what day it was.
I kind of didn't really either. Yes, you are. And thank you for calling in from vacation, Bird.
I'm literally in vacation land. Yeah. Western Maine. Like, just nice. Like Sade, coast to coast, LA to Chicago, Western Maine.
Yeah, that's exactly what
that's totally the
was
words.
All about. Oh, man. So this, like I was saying to Bob before we started, this is a very, very Marvelicious week. Bob didn't get to read anything.
Nothing.
Because he is isolated in a cabin in the woods reading from the Necronomicon and whatnot.
A.K.A. Archie Comics. I'm just reading a shit ton of Archie Comics.
Yeah, but they're inked in blood and yeah.
Indeed.
Of course, good. Bound in human flesh, inked in blood, etc., etc.
Yes.
The way of the Archie comics.
Yep.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just go through what's here. I'll just read off this long list of books that are out this week.
Some of which
are absolutely pointless, so we can skip through most of this. Especially where we are the first. We're getting into some really nonsense stuff. But there is actually a reprint of Witchblade number 1. It is the 25th anniversary of Witchblade number 1's first printing. So, isn't that weird?
That's weird. Wait, it's only 25 years? I feel like it's been longer than that.
Really?
The last 12 years of comic book history feels like super condensed to me. One of the things that I found up here was all my DC Rebirth, and I was like, I feel like that came out like 10 years ago, but it like
I know
it was like really recent. I don't know. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. All right. So Witch yeah,
blade.
There's that Witchblade. You know that blade.
This blade.
This blade. And we've got Ash and Thorn number 3. Nobody's reading it.
That's the one. Yeah, that looked interesting, but I never.
I mean, yeah, it's coming out from Ahoy, so it's probably great.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I know this is silly. This is a very silly complaint about this, but it is another book that is like surprising old lady story, which it feels like this year we've had like 40 of those.
Yeah,
it I feels like. Old lady with surprising secret has been like the theme for comics this year, or for indie action books.
Didn't this come out almost exactly at the same time as Crone? And
no,
I really
no.
Oh no. Okay.
No, this has been coming out like weekly. It's only like a month.
Okay,
old.
It's new. All right.
Crone came
Crone,
out a long
like,
time
was
ago.
Like the old lady surprise comic that I got really into.
I mean, I think of all of them, I think that was the standout one. I think Crone was the best of all of those.
Crone ruled.
But I mean, you know, Once in Future and, you know, like there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Once in Future's great.
And it sucks because I was working on a script for a comic and it had a surprising old lady character and I was like, ah, fuck, no.
Change that to Surprising Cat.
Yeah, I feel like this has been done to death. But I loved the tagline. It was called Exorcist Cop. And because, possession is 9/10 of the law. Come on.
Oh, man, you just gave that away.
Oof.
That's good.
Too late. Somebody takes that. I'll know where they got it from.
That's
anyway.
Technically, this podcast is copyright.
Yes, it sure is. And Marvel Action, Spider-Man number 3, continues to be fun. All the IDW stuff is great.
Nice.
Really good for middle audiences, the tween-ish audience. It's pretty perfect for. Still Valiant titles. Dr. Tomorrow is coming out. Usagi Yojimbo Color Classics is out. God Killers number 4 is out. Sleeping Beauties number 2, the Stephen King, Owen King adaptation of their book, is out.
Cool.
Dead Body Road number 2, Rogue Planet number 3. And there's a cool looking book that I did not get to check out this week, and I really, really should have, but I was pressed for time as I was still reading comics when Bob sent me a text and said, hey, are we doing a podcast tonight? And I was like, oh, shit, right.
Which is the funniest thing about that is that I remembered it like 2 minutes before I sent that text. I was like, oh shit, podcast.
Perfect. Yeah, I was just about to read Cable, which I didn't get a chance to read this week.
Oh, is that a number one?
No, it's number three, two.
Three, like Cable is out. Yeah. I missed it. Shit.
Yeah, Lost Soldiers from Image Comics. This is an Alice Cott book, which makes me want to pay attention to it. It's a Vietnam veteran story. It's just an interesting, crazy... It looks, you know, it's Alice Cott, so it's going to be...
Nice, yeah.
Very cerebral, very, very weird. I'm excited. I'm interested to see where they go with it. I have not even cracked it open yet. So.
Yeah, I will definitely check that out. Alice Cott wrote Dead Drop.
Yep.
Which is my favorite Valiant title of all time.
It's funny because that was a very funny title. And he's not really his thing is not really shticky normally. He's not normally a very funny guy. But that was a very funny book.
It did have, I mean, the characters that had humor in that book were like, there was humor to it, but the story itself was like pretty, you know, alien.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know. It was cool. I like that book. Anyway, we shouldn't talk about a book that came out 5-6 years ago on a podcast about what's out this week. Scott has it.
True, but yes, he is awesome. Another great book that I did not get a chance to check out. This is going to be one that you're going to 100% buy. That is Hedra number one. This is sort of an homage to like 2001 A Space Odyssey and like done with all, they're comparing it to like Chris Ware and Moebius and like all sorts of crazy stuff. And it's a large size, it's a magazine sized image book. It is beautiful looking, and it's a single person. It's Jesse Lonergan, who I know I know something about him, and I can't think of what it is. Mm. I feel like there was something else that he did, but this is the only credit that they're listing for it. The name is ringing some weird bell, but it's a super cool looking book, and
that's cool.
And it's like, this is going to be one of those. Like it's more about the comics medium than the story, but it's like an exploration of the comics medium. So it's like really art and concept heavy and just cool looking. So I really want to check that one out. Nailbiter Returns returning.
Fun book. I found this Nailbiter.
What? Sorry. You're on a weird delay.
I was just going to say I found a Tomahawk this week.
Oh, the man. Oversized, that book is so
Donnie Cates image book. I don't know. Mm. Reminded me of that. So I'll definitely check out that good. One you were just talking about. That sounds cool. Anyway, yes. Nailbiter.
Hedra, number one. Oh, Nailbiter. Yeah, Nailbiter Returns. Number three is out. So we have the first appearance of Mr. Finger and Lil Biter.
Okay.
If that doesn't make you want to get the book, I don't know what the fuck to tell you.
That sounds good.
Also, I just noticed that this was actually in the listings right now, so I'll mention it. Previews is also out this week, so we don't get a lot of people asking for previews because the internet exists, but previews is fun.
I like
a previews. Like I don't hate flipping through a previews, looking at things that I can't afford.
Yeah.
I'm going, I would really love to carry all these giant fucking $400 robots, but there's no way in hell I'm ordering these. Unfortunately, that Texas Blood number two is out this week. Cool book. There's a bunch of Empire tie-ins, some very lesser ones. Nobody gives a shit about the Captain America one, but Captain America number one Empire tie-in is out.
It's saying probably that something that I'll look at and be like, ooh, what's this? This is cool.
It could be. I don't even, you know, it might even be, who knows? It might be Ta-Nehisi Coates writing it. No, it is Philip Kennedy Johnson writing it. Artist is Ariel Olivetti. That's cool.
Yeah, could be.
Let's see. Yeah, that's...
I'll check it out.
Be okay. Blade Runner 2019, number 8 is out. Mirka Andolfo's Mercy, number 4 is out this week. And a book that I loved... beyond my capacity to express. Empire Savage Avengers number one is out. Whoa. And if you wanted to see a book that was a buddy cop team up of Venom and Conan going through the streets, smashing things with big clubs, and then maybe having tacos after, maybe you should read this book. It's fucking awesome.
Nice.
It's full of nonsense. The coloring is exactly the opposite of anything I've ever seen Marvel do. It is such an indie coloring scheme. It's all pinks, yellows, and blues. They go straight like neon 80s with it. It's like,
wow,
beautiful, crazy coloring. It's like such a bold choice that you wouldn't ever expect, like, because it is apropos of nothing. It's not like, oh, we're going to the neon district or something. They're just, you know, they're in an Amazonian jungle where all of the stupid plant people are, and then they're breaking their heads open with parking meters. You know, it's pretty awesome.
Who? What's the creative team on that? That sounds great.
Let's see. It is Duggan, of course. It's
I figured Duggan it was. It. Yeah.
Okay. And Smallwood.
Oh, nice! I'm all over that.
And I should probably mention the colorist, because that coloring is so fucking crazy. And there is no colorist listed, so I'm assuming that Greg Smallwood colored it himself with all those crazy colors.
He does do that. I think Smallwood does color his own work sometimes, if I'm not mistaken.
And this was some very bold color choice, like the boldest. Awesome. Nice.
Yeah, I'm all over it.
It's really fun. Iron Man 2020 number 5 is out. Symbiote Spider-Man Alien Reality number 5 is out as well. That is that crazy Peter David back writing Spider-Man in the black suit era, and there's some sort of insane Mysterio thing going on, which is causing all sorts of hallucinatory nonsense to go on throughout this whole book. It's fun if you like that era. I mean, Peter David is still writing like Peter David. Like, he hasn't, it feels like he hasn't missed a beat. The Hulk book that he wrote was awesome. This was awesome. I'm a little disappointed he didn't get X-Factor back, but we'll talk about that. I actually really liked X-Factor.
Yeah, X-Factor was one of my favorite. Like, back in the day, I subscribed to two comic books, Peter David's Hulk and Peter David's X-Factor. That was it. Like, I got those books in the mail. And even though I was a DC fan, like, I loved the Peter David books. Like,
yeah.
And they were just really good. That was really good shit. They came folded in half, perfect, all damaged in the mailbox. They shoved them into a PO box. It sucked.
Oh, yeah.
I'd always end up buying two copies.
Oh, my God. I got a Silver Age collection that came from a subscription.
Ooh.
Like a year ago, somebody had it had to be a subscription to directly to DC, and it was all Silver Age Flash. And they were all folded right down the middle and creased.
Yeah.
They were like I'm going to have to literally use a press to get them back to even some semblance of normalcy, which is a thing that I'm setting up. I'm going to set up my heat press and try to figure out how to make it work to do these. I'll experiment on quarter books for a while, but it's a bummer. Oh my God. Okay. So here's a book that I was also very excited about this week. That is Spider-Man Noir number 2. Wow, what a cool book.
Huh.
Wow, it's cool. This is, I don't know, I would just say it is a perfect book. It is so noir. It is so perfectly noir and so perfectly Indiana Jones. It's like just taking a Sam Spade and an Indiana Jones and just jamming them together. It's like a crazy big spanning adventure back in, you know, 20s like kind of era. I don't know what the actual era is. I'm trying to think of,
I mean, if it's noir, it'd be 20s 30s 40s,
yeah, something like that. And it's the writer, who I should probably shout out, is very good at the dead end kids patois, the like, hey, give him the Rasco, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And all of it is written like that. It's all written in that thing. There's the omniscient narrator boxes that you get for all of the descriptions are Sam Spade types, where it's like, And she was, I knew that she was giving me the, and it's like a big, long descriptions of all that stuff, but it's a Spider-Man book. And I think, I can't remember the original Spider-Man noir. I read it, but I don't think there was a supervillain in it. I feel like it was all pretty straightforward. This has a supervillain in it. There's a reveal at the end of the first, I think the first supervillain they've brought into the Spider-Man noir universe. Hmm. And it's awesome. And it's a noir supervillain. So good.
Is it a classic Spider-Man villain?
Or it is a classic Spider-Man villain redone as a sort of steampunk. Actually, that undersells it, calling it steampunk. More of just a of the time. An era-specific supervillain.
Cool.
It is the last page reveal, so we won't spoil it. But yeah, awesome.
Nope.
Awesome, awesome. Plunge number 5 is out.
Oh, nice.
Great book. Firefly number 18. Ascender number 11. Speaking of great books, I am so far behind. I have not even finished Descender yet, so I haven't cracked into Ascender, but Descender is phenomenal. It just got so maudlin that I was like, the world is too terrible. I can't read something with a sad robot in it. Like, I can't handle it. The world is fucking sad enough.
Yeah.
But I know there are plenty of people who still read Low and think it's the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, first trade and I was out. That was too much for me. Maybe I'm just a little stressed lately. I don't know.
Yeah.
but... Suicide Squad number 7 is
out. Oh, fuck, yes. Goddamn.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Best thing ever. And this week, I don't know if this has ever happened in the history of Suicide Squad. Has anyone ever been pardoned from Suicide Squad before? This issue, Deadshot gets pardoned.
Yeah. I gotta say it has to have happened.
It probably has to.
I don't know.
But I can't think of a single time it has.
Yeah, I just can't wait till Amanda Waller comes in and just fucking shreds the fucking shit.
I know.
Also, like, what the... I'm really, like, trying to figure out, like, what the deal is with... Because, like, at this point, like, you can kind of talk about the Ted Kord deal. Like...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the guy's been in other comics. Like, what's the deal? Like, there's a deal, you know? Like, I don't know.
There is. There's got to be something.
Got to be something. Maybe... Sounds like you're from your tone that maybe something you'll find out. In this
yep.
Oh, shit. Goddamn.
Oh,
save me
shit.
One.
Legion of Superheroes number 7. Cool.
Nice.
Continues to be fun. John Constantine Hellblazer number 8 is out.
Nice. This series is great.
I wish I could keep up with it. I'm failing miserably.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know. I was enticed to take a chance on this specific run fairly recently. This is Cy Spurrier. Yeah.
Yep.
I think, and I did, and
president
wasn't
of Hair Club for Men.
Who?
No, that was Cy Sperling. I'm sorry,
Cy Sperling. Nice. I saw a ShamWow fucking mask commercial. On we have TV here, but it's just like super basic, like only like access channels or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's a commercial with that ShamWow guy, the classic guy, who did all the old ones, and they have face masks. And he's like, why would you get another mask from ShamWow? Anyway, sorry. I don't know why.
Isn't that guy in prison?
I think he got out.
Apparently.
Because he's doing ShamWow mask commercials.
He's the guy that
prison, he got out.
You're going to love his nuts, right? He's that guy? He's the slap
sure,
chop
yeah.
guy?
Slap chop. Yeah, yeah, it's the slap chop guy, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, he's doing it. He doesn't look great.
He's just prison. Covered with prison tattoos.
Yeah, prison will do that to a man. They have to airbrush out his tears.
All the spider web tattoos on his eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's a crazy thing that's finally back. I haven't seen this in, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe longer. Mm. Black Magic number 12 is back. Man,
Black
I
Magic.
Love this book. Greg Rucka and Nicola Scott.
Oh, wow.
That
yeah.
book was great, and I'm not up to date, so I didn't bother reading this one, but the first trade was awesome.
Nice.
And maybe I'm bad at reading, but I still don't know whether they were in England or New Hampshire. They mentioned a city that could have been either England or New Hampshire, and I couldn't quite determine which it was. Oh, well. Maybe I'm bad at reading.
Maybe.
Anyway, X-Factor number 1 is out this week. this is very cool. This is a cool reimagining of the concept of X Factor to fit in with the Jonathan Hickman version of this universe. This is essentially, we start off and North Star basically see Aura dies. That's our first page. He senses her die. He's like, oh shit, she's dead.
Damn.
And he flies in to Resurrection headquarters and he's like, bring my sister back to life, you motherfuckers. Do it right now. And they're like, we have a backlog of 67,000 mutants to bring back to life, so go fuck yourself. Do you have a body? Do you know that she's dead? Can you prove it? Well, then what? We're going to just keep bringing people back to life and there's going to be duplicates of people everywhere? No. Prove that she's dead and then we'll do this. So he gets bands together a ragtag team of misfits. A bunch of misfits. And they go to solve the mystery of her disappearance, find her body, and get her prepared for a resurrection so that they can prove that she needs to come back from the dead.
What's the team?
What's that? Oh my God, the team is awesome. You may hate it. I love it.
I already like the concept, so.
It is Dokken. Love Dokken. North Star, Polaris, Rachel Summers. What do they call him? I-Boy?
Oh, God, I hate I-Boy. I will say I hate I-Boy.
Poor I-Boy.
Hey, what purpose does I-Boy serve?
Well, he can see through dimensions and time, and like he has all sorts of, like, he can see through every spectrum. He can see through, like, concepts.
That's cool. I didn't realize that they had expanded. I thought he was just a guy with a lot of eyes.
No. They've given him extra stuff. So he's
also,
he's really vulnerable. Investigative.
I know. That's just gross.
That's my problem with him too, where you're just like, oh God, I want him to stay home. Like he can be the man in the chair. I don't even want him sitting in a chair because there's probably eyes on his ass too. Just
I know, right?
Suspend him somehow where the eyeballs don't touch anything. It's grossing me the fuck out.
Well, and also like how susceptible to disease is the guy? Like he's got that many orifices. Like he's got extra mucus producing orifices. Oh. Like yuck. Also, I have an eye thing. Like just in general, like the fucking ice pick to the eye motif thing is not a motif I will ever be into. I don't like eyeball shit.
That's fair.
Anyway, whatever. So
I-Boy is in it. And so is Power Man. The other Power Man that's not Luke Cage's kid from that series that was do you remember the Power Man series a few years back where it was young Power Man and they were like, oh, you're Luke Cage's son.
Oh.
And then I think it turned out that he wasn't Luke Cage's son.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that like younger Power Man now. So he's a mutant?
I think he's called Prestige. Is that right?
Prestige.
Is that who it is?
I don't know.
But I think it is that Power Man. It looks like him. He's got the weird yellow goggles and the yellow suit.
Oh, wait. Is he the guy that is the mutant? I don't remember what book it was because it wasn't one I read. But he had the power of being like really smart.
Oh,
like,
maybe.
Really smart. Maybe it's that guy.
Maybe that's like Prestige. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm just like, judging by his yellow goofy goggles.
Yeah.
Maybe he is that.
Well, but, I'm down with this new X Factor, despite the I-Boy.
Yeah, I am super down with this. It was a little up its own ass for a lot of it for the investigative portion, where it's like there's a certain amount of like pseudoscience that you have to put into these things to make them fun, where you're like explaining how everybody's power is working with everyone else, but it was like a lot of that. It was like a lot of that. But still, I really enjoyed the issue and I am 100% sold on reading the rest of it. This feels like a missing puzzle piece to the X-Men as opposed to X-Factor, where they were just like, let's ignore, like the old X-Factor was like, let's just pretend the X-Men don't fucking exist. They're out there punching each other. And we're going to be here doing cool stuff, you know, like they're going to be like doing superhero shit and we're doing this crazy investigative stuff. This feels like it is just so integral, integral to the entire X-Men brand, to what they're doing now, that it's like, it's awesome. It feels like it's fixed something that I didn't like about what was going on in X-Men.
Cool. So, yeah, when you first said like someone died, I was just like, whoa, in X-Men, so that's pointless.
It's pointless. Yes.
But
now they need someone. It's a huge spoiler, but this is how the story is going to keep them going into the world, is that essentially they're going to be this team going forward. They will be investigating all of the deaths in the Marvel in the X-Men universe.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah.
It's a cool concept. Cable number 2 is out. That is a number 2. And I was really excited to read it because it has the Cuckoos on the cover, and that was all. And I was like, holy shit, a Cuckoo issue of anything I want to read. But I did not get around to it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 107 is out. We have some sort of crazy new monster in the sewer storyline. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Annual 2020 number 1, which is a Shredder trying to make good after the demons have been exorcised from his body. Whole big thing. He went to hell. He had a dragon in him. They got rid of the dragon. Splinter died. Now he's trying to make good, I guess.
He's trying to be a good guy.
I don't know if he's trying to be a good guy, but he's seeking redemption, I think. Okay, I'm going to say this. Empire. I like it now.
Nope.
I read Empire number 3, and I'm on board. It may have been the fact that I read Empire number 3 after reading that X-Men tie-in where they brought back the... Spoiler alert, if you haven't read the X-Men issue from last week,
which
was awesome! So, Scarlet Witch... You know, there's a big invasion coming. Scarlet Witch is feeling guilty about all the people she killed. She heads down to Genosha and she's like, well, I can't really make up for this, but I can bring back the dead. And she resurrects all the mutants on Genosha just in time for a bunch of fucking plant aliens to come down and be like, we're gonna fuck up you damned X-Men. And then there's like 167,000 mutants as zombies on this island that proceed to beat the living shit out of all those plants.
Is this the Kotati?
Yes, the Kotati. I can never say their name. Yes, the
Kotati. I have no idea if I'm saying it right. It could be Kotati.
No, or whatever. It's something that sounds like Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah, well, they're the guys that...
they're like a Kawadamundi.
Celestial Madonna, and they, one of them inhabited the body of the swordsman and
yes.
then hooked up with Mantis, and they had yep. a kid that became yep. some other character, I think.
Mm-hmm. And that is coming into play in this very issue, as a matter of fact. That is actually the offspring of Mantis, and Swordsman is quite literally the big... whatever the hell's going on of this issue.
Yeah, because I think that was tied into the resolution of the original Kree-Skrull War. I'm not yep. sure, having never actually read it, only read stories that referenced it. So don't quote me on that shit.
But yeah, so very interesting. I'm excited about this story. I don't know how much I can really... I don't want to spoil everything about it. But so few of our customers are reading it that I feel like it's kind of okay.
Well, everybody got like fucking totally burnt out on crossovers. And then like now they're like, oh shit, people are burned out on crossovers. Let's make awesome crossovers. And it'll take people a little bit of time to catch up.
I think you're right. But this is one of them. And yeah, it is. So let's just say that it is going to be pretty Wakanda centric for a little while, because the entire purpose of basically they realize in this issue what these guys are after, and it is right there in Wakanda. So
what's in Wakanda?
Yes,
my back is hurting.
Oh, you're so relaxed. Oh my god,
so relaxed. I'll hold this thing up. Sorry.
Wait, does your lamp have boobs?
No, it's just two lamps.
It's just two lamps. It's a good looking set of lamp boobs.
Here, I'll just put it on the lamp as I talk. How's that?
So nice.
No, that doesn't work. I can see myself and I look ridiculous. And even though it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no one else can see you. It's just me. So Spawn number 308 is out, and this is the return of a Spawn favorite. If you are a longtime Spawn fan, Gunslinger Spawn is coming back in this issue.
Ooh, a spavorite.
A spavorite.
Spawn favorite.
So this issue we have Spawn, She Spawn, Gunslinger Ooh. Spawn.
She Spawn? Oh man.
She Sick. Spawn, a loose spawn. Yep. Got it all.
If it looked like Cyndi Lauper and the Spawn crossed, I would be into it.
Me too. And Maud Hair Spawn is going to be in this one as well. It's great. Nice. Star Wars Darth Vader number 3 is out. It's very Darth Vader-y. This is really confusing. I don't know what's going on. I think Darth Vader is hallucinating. Either way, he's hanging out with Padme. So that's a very strange storyline.
Sounds angsty.
It's kind of angsty. It's funny to see. I feel like it really does drive home the whole, like, oh, God, right. He was that whiny guy from the prequels.
Darth Vader's the worst. Except for in comics, he's great. Like,
yeah.
Because in comics, so people are good. Like, oh, yeah, this guy's a badass. Let's make him be a badass. But for whatever reason, in the movies, they just always made him just a fucking whiny asshole.
True.
Anyway, sorry. I don't want to get down to
Captain Marvel, number 18. Yeah, don't nice. Piss off the Star Wars people.
No, I love Captain you, Star Marvel, Wars people.
Number 18 is... is going to be the first technical appearance of her as the new hammer guy.
Steel?
Yes. She's the new Shaquille O'Neal. She's taking over for him in...
nice.
In all the Velveeta commercials.
And no, Icy Hot patches.
She's going to be selling Icy Hot. Nope, this is her as the new accuser. She's the new Grand High Accuser.
Oh, Ronan. Gotcha.
And she's going to get, I believe in the next issue, she gets a team of accuserettes, which I think is pretty fun.
Hopefully they do kicks in a row.
I would imagine so. It's like literally she gets a team of everybody who wasn't on a team at the time. It's like, Spider-Woman, why are you an accuser? Because you were free. Like, we had these characters ready.
Because nobody was using you. Oh man, I'm sorry. Can I digress for a second? I found this other comic I found in my collection out here. Is the final issue of Kazar or whatever.
Yeah.
From the 80s, where at the end of the comic, it's the last issue, and they finish the story, and then there's an epilogue where some kid opens the comic book and a spirit Kazar comes out of the comic book, travels through space, ends up on this other planet where he immediately fights shadow versions of Man-Thing, Silver Surfer, and all these other heroes that have their costumes. There's a spider. All their comics canceled. And then he goes, he's in the land of canceled comic characters, and like fucking Deathlok is there, and like Brother Voodoo, and like all these Marvel comics that have been canceled, they're all hanging out in this like grand hall, and he has this big speech about how the comics that really take chances are the ones that have the chance to bring things back, God, or whatever. I'll post it to the Instagram. I will.
That's so good.
It's so meta and dopey. It's great.
It's so whiny and wonderful.
Yeah. I love it. It's fucking awesome. Anyway.
Awesome. You'll be very excited to see that Batman Superman number 10 this week has the Ultra Humanite coming back.
Nice. I like that guy.
Yeah.
Is it the ape version?
Oh, yeah. It's the big albino ape version. Nice. I don't think they used anything but the albino ape version since the Silver Age.
Oh, not for a while. But I do really like the Dolores Winters, the silent film actress that he took the brain out of at one point.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, at one point he was a silent film actress. That's golden age, like real, like canon golden age shit. Pretty cool.
Amazing. Red Hood and the Outlaw. Red Hood Outlaw, number 47. I don't know what the hell is going on here.
It doesn't matter. You're reading it or you're not.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's training other people, other characters.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. That's the last thing I saw in it. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Not a title I follow.
Wonder Woman number 757 is out. Cool. X-Men number 10 is out this week.
Nice.
That was really good. This is... So, I'm not even sure what's going on in this, but the emperor of the horrible plant people, I guess, is now... I think it's Vulcan? Not sure. Maybe I'm calling him Vulcan, and I always want to call him that. He's got the red suit, and he's got a sun inside of his chest.
You're talking about the Japanese guy?
No, not him.
The red suit with the sun inside his chest, not Chamber.
No, I think he came down, he crashed in the wilderness and killed a bunch of Alpha Flight members at one point. I think it's Vulcan. Maybe I'm crazy.
Sure. I mean, Vulcan is the guy that's like the third.
Oh.
I think that's Vulcan. I don't know. Killed Alpha Flight guy. Oh, wait. Yeah. Who the fuck was that guy?
Yeah, it is Vulcan.
I know what you're talking about now.
He's another Summers, right?
Yeah, that's Vulcan.
I think he's Gabriel Summers.
Yeah that's
Vulcan. It is Vulcan. Yeah. Okay, I'm not crazy.
But there was a guy that killed Alpha Flight was another guy. Different guy.
Yeah, that was when M-Day happened. All of the mutant powers went into space. And infected somebody, and he basically got every power that was left.
Man or something.
Yeah, some weird shit like that, and he fell to Earth. And basically, when he hit the ground, he just walked towards the X mansion, I think. Mm-hmm. And while he was doing so, just burned a swath through Canada.
Yeah.
And in doing so, I think he killed all of Alpha Flight, who came back like the next issue.
Well, of course, every member of Alpha Flight has been killed like 8 times.
Well, I mean, and 2 of them are literally immortal. I mean, Sasquatch and Puck are both immortal, so.
Right. Yeah, Puck is like an elf, or like powered by elves or something like that.
Dude.
Cursed by elves.
He is cursed. His origin story is so insulting, I don't even want to say it.
Yeah.
He has the power of a 7-foot-tall man. And he was crushed down into the size that he is now.
But there's something
it's
about
so
elves
insulting
with
and
Puck
stupid.
Too. I know. I remember an old.
He was.
Elf-like
he was.
Comic.
It's. He was just like Juggernaut or any of those. He was like an explorer. He was a 7-foot-tall explorer that went into some cave and got cursed by some forbidden object. I think. It's been a long time since I've read any of those origin stories for Alpha Flight.
Right.
So I'm mostly pulling that out of my ass.
Where in Alpha Flight, where they turned him back into a tall person, and it involved an elf guy. Like it's just like
that
a
would
vague,
make sense.
Maybe I'll find it when I go through my old comics.
Yeah.
I still have it. I don't think I do, but maybe I do. Anyway, whatever. So this guy Vulcan is back in X-Men.
Yep. And he's being called. So apparently I've been very skimmy with the really read books tonight, but apparently Vulcan is now the king of the Kuati. So I don't know why. I don't know what his deal is. They have infected him with something. There's something in his brain where they fucked with him a little bit. They did kind of the Mercy Bloom kind of thing from Superman, that kind of deal. So it looked like they did a little bit of that to him. Sure. And now he's, I don't know, acting a little crazy, but he did also murder a bunch of them too. So I don't know what's going on, whether he's, I don't know where he's at with that, but
Sounds
he lives
intense.
On the moon now.
Oh,
I don't know. There's Summers living on the moon.
All right.
There you go. And last but not least, Amazing Spider-Man number 45. This is probably the first Spider-Man story arc that I have been excited about in a while.
Since Dan Slott was writing it?
That may be the case, honestly. I mean, I've been excited about the art from different times when I'm like, oh, cool, I'm glad this guy's doing something. And then I read the story and I'm like, it's cool. It's a good, you know, there have been a few good ones. I like the Kraven the Hunter storyline that came out recently with his son and all that stuff. That was fun. But there hasn't been anything that has like knocked it out of the park that I've been like, oh shit, I need to know more about what's going on. There's like, where it actually establishes that kind of comic book mystery that you want to know more about what the fuck is happening.
Nice.
The Sin Eater storyline is a mystery that is being set up in a very intentional, crazy, fun way. You've got Overdrive, this guy whose only superpower is to make machines work better than cool. they would normally. And so he basically gets into a car. Spider-Man's been having these dreams about Overdrive, where he's driving this car into a crowd at a jillion miles an hour and he can't stop him. And so there's this whole thing goes down, and then it happens in real life. Spider-Man tries to stop him and he's like, he's following me. You got to stop this guy from coming after me. And it's Sin Eater. We have Sin Eater showing up and he's out to assassinate people. And he is now supernatural and back from hell. Question mark.
Oh, wow.
So what they're saying is he's claiming to be back from hell. There's something having to do with this other mysterious character with the crazy, creepy millipedes. And it's awesome. And he has weird powers and abilities involving his Bizarro gun. So pretty cool.
Oh, man. And then there's Bizarro gun?
Well, his gun behaves differently than a normal gun. And in the Sin Eater preview that happened last week, the prelude thing, he was revealed to be kind of demonic, looked a little like Carnage when he was going after people. There's some interesting ideas coming out. Who knows what's going to happen with it, but I'm super down for this Spider-Man story, and I want to read the next one as soon as possible.
That's so good. Yeah. Nice.
So multiple twists and turns that it was a little spoilery for what I said, but there's so much more to the story than what I said. It's great. It's
but you really, got to give really... people something to if yeah, they're not reading. I agree. It, you got to give them something to get hooked on. Also, it's been proven people like spoilers, which also, is sad, but true.
Yeah. And also, I think, I don't know if it's a selling point for other people. It is for me. Mark Bagley art. I fucking love Mark Bagley doing Spider-Man. I don't know. Some people, he's one of those guys that big Spider-Man fans are cut right down the middle, where they're like, he's either your least favorite or your favorite.
Yeah.
And like, I think he's definitely a contender for me for like top five Spider-Man artists. Absolutely. Pretty much always dig his take on Spider-Man. Nice. And his Spider-Man is like one of maybe two or three designs that I think of when I think of Spider-Man. The way that he draws Spider-Man is kind of in my head. It's the him and Romita are probably my two top Spider-Man designs. Romita's, I wish, the only thing I don't like about Bagley's is that the costume's not as pillowy as Romita's. There's something about the squishy texture of the costume where like the spider webs push in to the mask. I'm like, that's such a touch.
Romita was just such a like master draftsman kind of guy. Yeah. Like it, like he just brought this like smooth, like polished look to the Spider-Man that kind of like really defined it, I think, for a long time in a way that like Ditko didn't, although Ditko is obviously my top Spider-Man artist.
I feel like that goes without saying.
Right, that's weird.
I don't even put him in the, because he's obviously the number one Spider-Man artist.
Right, but you would also kind of like, I would take him and Romita and kind of even like Gil Kane or like whatever, like the Silver Age guys that drew Spider-Man.
I do also like a good Gil Kane.
Yeah, I would separate them. But like for me, it's weird and it's no one's favorite Spider-Man artist, but the first Spider-Man artist that I got into was the first Spider-Man comics I bought.
Ron Frenz.
What? Like inked by Wait Brett Breeding. I loved it. They did like a Ditko, like Ron Frenz will do like a thing with like Kirby. Like when he did Thor, he was very Kirby. When he did Spider-Man, he was very Ditko. But I love his art. He was so good. And then Eric Larson.
He's got an interesting style.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's, and like when it was inked by, I remember Brett Breeding being the inker that I really liked on him. And it was just like, that was like the first ones I bought. Like The Kid That Collects Spider-Man, I think, was one of those.
Yes.
And like the one where Mary Jane told him that she knew who he was the whole time. All those, like, that was the era that I first read and liked Spider-Man. I think Roger Stern maybe wrote those. I'm not 100%.
Yeah. I mean, he did the big like reveal of the sinister secret of Spider-Man's new costume. And
he was
stuff.
The first to art. He was the artist on that run. But then I love the Eric Larson, and I liked the McFarlane run, but I love the Eric Larson on Spider-Man. I just love that era. Like, I love his art on it. Like, I don't love all how all the ancillary characters necessarily look, but I love how Spider-Man.
I agree.
Yeah, but whatever. And then I also really like Stuart Immonen for the modern.
Yeah.
That guy rules.
Me too. Anyway, I mean, yeah. I also do like I've been saying, I'm back on the fucking Todd McFarlane train. I don't know how this has happened, but I'm like,
I'm full on
Todd McFarlane fan. Honestly, the thing is, I had fallen off reading anything that he had done for a while, and then he was just being like kind of douchey in the media. Yeah. And so I was like, I hate this guy and I don't care about his artwork and I'm going to say his artwork sucks. It's fine. And then it was like, oh, he's just being, you know, guy who's newly rich doing dumb shit. I'm like,
yeah,
whatever. You bought a $2 million baseball. It was stupid and it was worth 50 cents after the week after you bought it. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that wasn't a good look. you know what actually was a really fun thing that I realized from the McFarlane stuff and really brought me back around to McFarlane was the fact that he's obsessed with Felix the Cat and threw Felix the Cat into every Spider-Man comic he did. Every single one.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, holy
I mean,
shit.
Although
I
can,
I know
exactly the Felix the Cat clocks because I can remember the Felix the Cat clocks that he drew into things.
Yeah.
Because I can picture it in my head right now.
Yeah, he would find like ways to draw Felix the Cat in everything. And then it's like in the Gru comics when they had the secret message and you like, when you once you knew it was there and you're like looking for it or whatever. But like now that I'm older and have become obsessed with Felix the Cat for whatever reason has happened over the last bunch of years. I'm like, Tom McFarlane rules like for drawing Felix the Cat into all those comics.
Yeah.
And also he's good.
Yeah. There's no reason to dwell on him. People know that he's a good artist, but it is his combination of goofy, realistic and 90s. Mm. The fact that he could do Gru level goofy comedy crap that was perfectly articulated as that. You're like, this is goofy. It's hilarious. It's actually really well done. And the cartoonish faces are expressive as anything that you'll ever see. And then you can go full on, you know, like that kind of bombastic 90s, fill every inch of the panel. Everybody's bursting through and they're way too fucking big and they're all posing. His were some of the best of those that you'll ever see. Yeah. And, you know, like, and when he wanted to draw something that looked exactly like the thing, he could do that as well. And there are so few artists who are like that. And so I give it up to him, even though his toys will fall apart the second they tip over.
I never got into his toys. I'm not into an action figure that only has one pose. I just can't, you know, I'm not into action figures in general very much. I do like having a few of them just because they're like, you know, whatever, like I have a Blue Beetle or whatever, like where are you going? You want that. But I don't like the McFarlane toys very much, although they are cool. I get like what the deal is with them. I'm not insulting them. I just like,
I know I do need to get the White Knight figures. Apparently those get canceled on my order and apparently they've been shipping to everybody else, so I need to figure out what the hell's going on.
What? Fuck that.
I know. Jesus.
Fucking over Sean. The small fucking guys. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it'll, I mean, those solicits were going on right as everything went to hell, so I'm sure something happened and I missed something that I was supposed to submit a second time or some nonsense. Who cares?
The white knight 4 must be filled out in triplicate.
Oh, God, I'm sure. Let's see. Was there anything else exciting this week? There were some good trades, I think. I can't remember what they were, though. I'm going to go to our website. And I'm going to fuck up the Zoom call by doing so, I'm sure. Because our internet is not good enough to handle both things. But
maybe I can do it. Would it be better if I did it?
It's loading right as we speak. There was something last week, though, that I don't think I mentioned that was amazing, and that was the first Helsing compendium.
Oh, nice.
Which is awesome. They've released it in the Berserk did this, where there are these big, like, faux leather-bound hardcover editions. And so you can get all of Berserk in these now. They're like up to 5 volumes, and they're just massive, beautiful. But Helsing, which is one of my favorite anime, like, I'm not a huge anime person, but it is just horror-related enough that I was stoked. So that is still available at the shop and online. Adventure Zone came out this week with their 3rd graphic novel. So if you're a fan of the podcast Adventure Zone, this is the 3rd in their adaptations of one of their campaigns, or a 3rd campaign. I don't know if this campaign has just been going on since the beginning, but people love that thing.
Nice.
The other thing that you'll notice when you go to the website, we got a crap ton of little golden books. And little golden books have been branching out into crazy things. So there's like Bao and Coco and Moana and all those things that you expect to find. But there's also things like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's an I Am Skeletor one that's out this week that I was really excited about. Just like really fun pop culture crap. So check that out. If you have a little person that you want to give something awesome to and get them into things like Masters of the Universe, whatever, they will be stoked. We also have a Friday the 13th 1,000-piece puzzle.
And I thought you were going to say a Friday the 13th Big Little Book.
Oh, I wish. Little Gold Book. I'm Jason Voorhees. This is a $15 puzzle, which is super fucking cheap for puzzles. And it's just a gigantic Jason mask. So if you're looking for something to kill some time, get it, because he murders people. That's one of those things. Also, we got the Marvel Eat the Universe official cookbook, which is all official Marvel recipes. Come on, official. Guys.
I know that when I need to recipe, Marvel Comics Universe is where I... first
that's
place
where
my
you want to go
goes.
We also got the SDCC exclusive, because they're not doing one of those things, of the Iron Giant. We ordered a crap ton of them, and we got only a few, so you should probably do that, because that means that they have been sequestered, sold out everywhere.
What is
screwed
it
on the Iron Giant, the Diamond Select Iron Giant figure.
Oh, it's a figure.
The movie, The Iron Giant. So, yeah, ooh, it's gorgeous.
I love that movie. So,
super cool.
Nice.
What do we got here? Walking Dead, The Alien hardcover. I don't know what that story was from, but it is reprinted in a hardcover out now. It must have been one of those things that was, like, sequential in some magazine or something. I remember that you could only get the origin of Michonne was only in Playboy.
Yeah. Right.
And so they republished that eventually in something, but like the only way you could have gotten it as like the first version was Playboy. So those are the things that are out this week. So many of those things.
So many things. Great things.
And some great stuff. And Oh shit. Yeah. Speaking of online, popular fan bases, Critical Role, Vox Machina Origins number 2, the trade is out as well. If you are a fan of that is in existence for you now.
Nice. And
I think that's it. I think that's all I got for you.
All right, well, I'm gonna go to the website and order my comics, because I haven't done that yet. and awesome. I'm not going to be able to pick them up till later. And I don't want anyone to get my books. They're mine.
Awesome. They're mine. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Bob. Thank you everybody for listening. And we'll be back at you with more things. We're doing popcorn on the Funbox Monster podcast this week.
Nice.
Fantastic 90s movie, popcorn. Yeah. And we're going to be doing all sorts of other fun things. So we will see you soon. And thank you again, Bob. And enjoy the rest of your vacation.
I will. Yeah.
All right. See you later, man. Good night.